I can't tell what's deep inside us buried caverns. I've only read about their jewels, rich and rare. I've not explored the depths of any ocean. But if you want to meet the Savior, I've been there. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Talked with Earth's most famous statesmen, and chances that I'll ever meet them all are dim. Oh, but if you'd like to know the King of Glory, I can take you to meet Jesus, for I know him. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me.
Morning again. I don't know, that sounds like an arrangement to meet Jesus in a different way. No, I'm not going to help you out in that way. It's talking about meeting Jesus here on earth, not in heaven. Anyway, before, a little bit of an introduction here. I want Brenda to put up a scripture there out of Matthew 23, verse 9 to 12. Jesus speaking here, he says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for you have one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." That's the basis of Christianity, right there in a nutshell. If this isn't part of Christianity, then I wonder if you have Christianity. And the reason why I say this, the guy up here and the guy who we think is the lowest back there are equal. there is. The greatest in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, John, he was great on earth, but the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John. So in essence, we're all on the same playing field. There's none better than the other. I'm not more spiritual than any of you. I'm at the same level. I struggle with the same passions. Even Pastor Dave will tell you, we struggle with the same passions that anybody else does. There is nothing that doesn't hit me that doesn't hit you, as far as Satan tempting or depression or whatever Satan throws at us. Like, I'll start, my week started out with unbelievable demonic attacks from every angle. Did I fail at some? Yes, I did, especially at work. Those always take me by surprise. It almost happens when you come there thinking you will not fail this day. And guess what happens? You come there and you work, you have somebody there who shouldn't be qualified to pick parts out of a laser, and we have him doing something that, reading a tape measure, shouldn't read a tape measure. But that's the kind of struggles that you end up with to test your qualities or your how deep you are in your life with Christ. I want to tell you this. You yourself will never overcome anything on your own strength. It is impossible. You need the power of God, a help, an extra help, an outside entity to help you overcome whatever you need to overcome. Whether it's overcoming pornography, whether it's overcoming cursing or depression, I don't care what it is. If you're trying to set yourself a standard and make yourself a set of rules to follow that you will not do, or like some churches do, they have an accountability where people call you up every now and then to see if you're into pornography. That, good for them. But that is not the way to help yourself out. You need to plug into the right power source, and that power source will then help you, enable you to overcome what you need to overcome. So whether it is controlling your thought life, remember your thought life is the battleground for every fight that you win or lose. You win or lose it right there in your thought life. So if you have a thought, and I'm not talking about somebody, I read a book, I'm talking about experience here. You probably all know where I'm coming from with this. You already know before you do it that you're going to do a premeditated sin, which is iniquity. The Bible calls that iniquity. We all, whether it's gossip, whether it's envy, like let's not pick out the worst sins here. All those sins, the Bible says, will keep us from the kingdom of God. So we need a covering. First, take care of that covering. We need blood. We need to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, and love that covers a multitude of sins. But past that, once you enter into the life after you're born again, their temptation doesn't stop. You don't enter into heaven in a bed of roses. Struggles come. Temptations come. And they try you. Everywhere you go, you'll be tried. I'm watching this revival in Asbury, Kentucky. 10 days now, nonstop. You can't do something for 5 minutes to keep a teenager focused. Look what's happening there. Takes the power of God to do it. So don't laugh or mock. If anybody mocks that, separate yourself from that person, because you are picking up a negative spirit. I pray to God this happens here. I don't know how it'll work, because we all have to go to work here. So it might last. Even if it lasts, it'll come. I think it'll come. So the power of the Holy Ghost is what we need to live our lives. When Peter said, I will not deny you to Jesus under his own power. 3 times, he even got angry. I will not deny you. For what's the first thing he did? He denied him. What did he do later on when he was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? Then he had the power to be crucified upside down. He didn't do it under his own power. There was something with him. There was something powerful within him that he could, that could withstand the pressure of the government trying to convince him to not follow Christ. Anyway, before I go into the my message will be about depression. I started that last week after, off the record, after the service last week. And I had something else that I wanted to speak on, but the Lord did not permit me to speak on it. I do not know why, but I will have that next week. It's about, you can even study it for yourself and start, give yourself a heads up start. It's called The Midnight Cry. Study what The Midnight Cry is. But I will have a message about that next week. But this week, I do not understand. The Lord did not allow me to have that message. Even though I had it down in like 5 minutes, I had it, it came in about five, 10 minutes, I had it. But this came to me to continue about depression, because depression is an incredible force among believers that keeps you in the dark. It's a spirit. If you recognize that as a spirit, you will then take the initiative and the first step you need to take to overcome depression. But before I want to, we get into this, we're going to rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord Jesus, I praise you and thank you that the greatest among us is also the least among us, that we're all equal in your sight. We're all blood bought. We're cleansed by your blood. And we start from there and know that once we are grounded and rooted in knowing that there is nothing but the cross of Calvary that can bring us into eternal life. Once we know that, and it's the foundation of our hearts, we can then start preparing for a battle, Lord Jesus, in the spiritual realm. And we know, Lord Jesus, at the end, we win. And I thank you for that. So you will bless and anoint this message. Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be here, to be present, Lord Jesus, that every person here will be infilled from the inside, know that they can have power to overcome all things in Jesus' name. You may be seated. In Philippians, it also says, Paul speaking, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not some things, he says all things. So whenever you run into anything that you run into that Satan has you depressed with or has you fighting, remember, Jesus has your back. But you have to take the initiative. I will read something out of Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers is one of my favorite go-to guys when it comes to spiritual growth. He's not going to be a guy I'll go to for other things, but he's extremely good when it comes to ground level, foundational stuff to fight the battle. And he's using his text out of 1 Kings 19:5. And this is where an angel came to Elijah and told him, arise and eat. And basically what happened there, Elijah was depressed because of King Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, and King Ahab. They were seeking to kill him, and he said, there is nobody left in Israel. And really, God had told him, no, there's lots that have not bowed. He didn't even say that they were following him, that have not bowed to Baal. So Elijah was depressed, and he basically wanted to die. And all the angel of the Lord, the message came, and he said, simply get up and eat. So he needed to eat. So he simply got up and ate, and it was a very ordinary thing that got him out of his depression. So if we were never depressed, we would not be alive. Only material things don't suffer depression. If human beings were not capable of depression, we would have no capacity for happiness or exaltation. So you have everything, but it's the choice is yours. What are you going to pick? There are things in life that are designed to depress us. For example, things that are associated with death. Whenever you examine yourself, always take in account your capacity for depression. When the Spirit of God comes in us, he does not give us glorious visions, but he tells us to do the most ordinary things imaginable. Depression tends to turn us away from the everyday things of God's creation. But whenever God steps in, his inspiration is to do the most natural, simple things. Things we would never have imagined God was in. But as we do them, we find him there. The inspiration that comes to us in this way is an initiative against depression. But we must take the first step and do the inspiration of God. In the inspiration of God. See, that's where it lies. Don't think God is going to come magically and take your depression away. You have to take the first step. God is going to take over remarkably. If, however, we do something simple to overcome our depression, this is where it gets tricky here, and this is where I added my own inspiration or my own account of things, of what how I think things go. We will only deepen it. So, say, for example, if we mask depression with indulgences, like becoming a busybody, basically with work, or constantly eating or abusing alcohol, or constantly filling our ears and minds with noise, the noise of music. I'm not saying they're wrong, but if you're doing it to fill or to void something, or to fill a void or to counter depression, it'll only deepen your depression, especially if it's abusive of any of those things. You have to make sure what you're doing is led by the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit is the one that is telling you. Then if he uses music to get you out of the depression, that's fine. But if you're doing it to deafen that sound of depression, then you're only going to prolong it, phase it. You're not helping your situation. If you're into those kinds of things because you are joyful at heart, you will never abuse them. That's going back to the former, what I had just stated. So there is a time and a place for those things. If you have a merry and joyful heart, you will do those things. You will enjoy things of life that God has given us. And you will do them with joy. But if you're doing it because you're depressed, that is a whole another ballpark that we need to address, or that you need to address. However, if you do them because you're depressed, your depression will only become deeper. Ask your Heavenly Father how to overcome the spirit of depression. But when the Spirit of God leads us instinctively to do something, the moment we do, the depression is gone. As soon as we arise and obey, we enter a higher plane of life. Jesus speaking in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. I've had this scripture multiple times, and we need it as much as we can read it. Fill your mind with this scripture. Gee, this is an incredible promise that Jesus has given us. It's, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now what? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means you're bearing it with Jesus. And then I'm going to read. State what I had in conclusion. Philippians 4, verse 13, Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I want to encourage you, if you do suffer with depression, it's okay to call on a brother or sister to pray to help you out of this, but most of your battles that you will win yourself. You will overcome by standing your ground and telling Satan where to go, because you're ultimately fighting an incredible evil force. And you can win this battle if you allow the Holy Spirit to help you out and to know that this is a battle that can be easily won, but not so easily if you are not connected to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that this church will find the same spirit that is happening down in Asbury, Kentucky. And not only this church, it'll sweep across North America and the world. But North America can use this at a grand scale. Thank you.
Hallelujah. You love today. Tomorrow is better. few more centuries, we'll be out of here. Praise God. I've been watching the revival, and I believe it's the start what I've been preaching for the last 5 years. God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. We're going to see mighty works of God, and people will change all over the world. It's coming this way. Don't get scared. Just relax, receive, and enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you been under the presence of the Holy Spirit, where you just like to sit and enjoy that presence, maybe for a couple hours, and then you finally have to leave? And the farther you get away from that place, the more you come back to reality. I've seen it. I know what it is. That's why those people are all heading there. They want to be part of that outpouring. And outpouring, it's not artificial. God pours His Spirit out. He touches people. I know how it works. I've been part of it. And one day, we're all going to see it. So start rejoicing. Hallelujah. Today I got a different message. It's about the Laodicean church. Are we in the Laodicean church? I believe we are. Many, many in the church are Laodicean. They don't know Christ. And try to fool people by going to church, acting religious, doing whatever, even trying their best to be godly. But God is going to somehow weasel them out, and you'll know. In Revelation chapter 3:15, I know thy works. There are neither cold nor hot. I would that I were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Is it possible for God? I'll give you a hint. Is it possible for God to spew His own child out of His heart, out of His mouth? I don't think so. There's something a lot of people are missing here. And we need to get to the bottom of it. What is it that we're missing? Will you spew your own child out of your mouth because it badmouths you or doesn't behave? No, no, especially mother. Oh, he's a nice boy, or he's a nice girl, or she's a nice girl. They always got the compassionate Jesus heart, where Father would like to take a stick, maybe 4 feet long. We'll help you along in this. But God does not spew His children out of His mouth. So who are those people whom He's spewing out of His mouth? Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with good, have need of nothing, and knoweth not that are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. That should give you a hint. They don't have anything spiritual. They're naked, they're blind, they're poor, and they are miserable. Does that sound spell Christianity? No, it doesn't. There's something wrong here with this crowd. and they're part of the church of the Laodicean. I counsel thee, buy of me gold, tried in fire. What is that gold that you need to buy? Simple, get the Word of God, buy it, start studying it, and you will start to understand that thou mayest be rich. That's what the Word of God does. It enriches you. It fills you with God. In white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Something's missing on those people. That wedding gown, that white raiment is not there. So, they're wearing their own clothes, their own religious, beautiful clothes they're making. It says, no, white raiment you need, that thou mayest be clothed, and thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear. How does it appear? Because it's there for God to see. God sees your nakedness. God sees your shame. He knows when you are naked. It's when the blood of Jesus is missing. When the blood of Jesus is there, he sees only himself in purity and righteousness. It says, thy nakedness and thy shame. Christian shouldn't have shame. He knows he should. A Christian should know that he is covered with the blood and there's nothing to be ashamed of. And anoint thy eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. There's another hint. Those people don't see. They haven't anointed their eyes. They don't see the way of salvation. He says, anoint your eyes with eyesalve that you may see. Reason it spews them out of his mouth. They don't see. They don't have that wedding gown, that white raiment, and they don't have the gold. They make their own sermons. They make their own way of how to get to heaven. And we have a lot of relatives that are in exactly that position. They have no eyesalve, they have no raiment, and they have no gold. Start talking about the gold when you meet them, and they'll all of a sudden have some different ideas than you do. Why? Because they do not have the real gold. It says in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at a door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door and will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, does that like look like somebody who's inside with Jesus? No, he's on the outside. He doesn't know the Lord. But if he's knocking, God says he'll open the door. And to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even if I have overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. How do you overcome? Start living a godly life? That's not overcoming, because you'll fail after 2-3 weeks. Or 2 days, or 2 hours, or 2 minutes. You need to overcome How does one overcome? He becomes born again. That's the overcoming. You become one with Christ. That's when you are an overcomer. That's when you're righteous, total, pure, holy in the sight of God. He will never spew you out of his mouth if you overcome. Why? Because you belong to him. Have you overcome? Those of you who are watching by the internet, you may ever so hard try to overcome in your own power. You may heap up yourself rules and regulations to try to please God, but he will spew you out of your mouth because you don't have his gold. You don't have his eye salt. You do not overcome because you don't take his advice. You want to do it on your own self, and that's usually self-righteousness. And many, many people are like that. I want to show you a scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad, rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming, and his wife had made herself ready. How did she make herself ready? Did she make herself a wedding dress? No, she did not. That's the beauty of Christianity. It's not what you do, it's what Jesus did. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's what fine linen is, your righteousness, your holiness, your beauty, and your salvation. Righteousness comes from God. You don't get it from yourself. The New King James Version tells us that the righteous acts of the saints will give you that fine linen. That would defeat the purpose of Christianity if it's your righteous acts. You need to be granted that white robe. It has to be given you. Otherwise, it's your own works, your own doings, and all our righteousness and all our doings are as what? Filthy rags. That's what it is. And we better take that to heart. If we try to do it ourselves, we are nothing but filth in the eyes of God. And he will not accept us. He will spew us out of his mouth because we are filthy. We need that white robe that he grants us to be clothed with. And that and only that will make us part of the kingdom of God. So let the Lord open your heart. Don't try to do it yourself. Be at peace. Let God do it for you, and you will find out. Once he gives you the revelation, once he done it for you, you will rest, and nobody will take it from you. You will not have to go church hopping, hoping to find it. You have found it yourself. Through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives it to you. And once he gives it to you, you are free from all other deceptions. Thank you. Let the Lord open your heart to this. Make you a blessing. Amen.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shore. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me as a mother stills her child. Thou canst hush the ocean wild, boisterous waves obey thy says to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore, on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee, Jesus, Savior.